Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
If you're in faith, then you hold God in a high place above your life. You exalt Him. And you do that by faith. And faith is in your heart and in your mouth. So you're exalting Him, not just in your heart. I ain't got Him in my heart. I believe in God in my heart. No, you're speaking it out with your mouth. You're exalting Him with your words. So praise is easy for those that are submitted to God. Those that are submitted to Him. Those that have exalted Him above them, praise comes easy. Because exalting Him with their words is what they do because they believe in their heart. And so they just speak it forth with their words. And we declare that we exalt Him. And we praise Him. And we lift Him up. Amen. Somebody say, God don't need to be lifted up. Well, in your life, He does. You need to lift Him up above you. You need to keep Him high and lifted up above you. Because you can put yourself above Him. People do it all the time. People lift themselves up above Him, not in reality, but in their heart and in their mind. They think they're higher than Him. They think they're smarter than Him. They think they rule over Him because they make all the decisions in life. They talk more about themselves than they talk about Him. They talk more highly of themselves than they talk about Him, highly of Him. And when it comes to praising God, That's kind of difficult. They're not used to that. That means more than likely you're not in faith about Him being the Lord of your life and you are submitted under Him. See, these are just things we can use to catch ourselves, to locate ourselves, to find out where we're really at in life. I don't want to live a lie, do you? I don't want to believe lies about myself. I don't want to believe I'm better than I really am or further than I really am or I'm doing something I'm really not doing or I'm in a place that I'm really not in. Right? And a lot of people are deceived. You know, even on that day, Jesus said the day is going to come where people are going to leave their bodies. They're going to stand before God's judgment and they're going to look at the Lord and they're going to say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And did we not do all kinds of works in your name? And did we not listen to your teachings? And he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. You who practice lawlessness. Right on that day, people are going to be shocked. They're going to stand before His judge and go, Lord, Lord. He goes, why do you call me Lord and not do the things that I say? They're going to be shocked on that day. They lived their whole life in deception. I don't want to live my life in deception. I want to live my life in the light. And the Bible says in Psalm 119, 130, the entrance of thy word gives light. It brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Man, we're going to live our life according to the light of God's word. We're going to stay in the light. We're going to keep the light above us, shining on our life, shining on our path so that we can see where we're going. But for it to be shining down upon us, that means we're lifting it up above us, exalting God's word above our words, exalting God's word above our opinions. The Bible says any kind of thought that would exalt itself above the knowledge of God or the knowledge of His word, the Bible says you're to cast that down. You're to cast that down. And that's something we got, that's a part of our spiritual warfare. We got to cast down every high thing, every thought that exalts itself above Him. We got to bring that down, bring that into subjection to Him, to His word, to what does God say? What does God say about it? What does God say about it? You know, people throwing their opinions around, their ideas. What does God say about it? You know, we might need to pray about some things before we just rush off into it, accept it as what we're supposed to be doing. Maybe it's time to just stop and say, well, we got to find out if this is right with God. We want to make sure we're doing His will. We don't want to just be running out there doing our own thing. Exalting our own ideas, our own opinions, our own feelings about stuff. We always got to come back to, now what is God saying about this? What does the word say about this? And see, that's humbling yourself. That's humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God. And if you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that mighty hand will lift you up and will exalt you above the circumstances of life. The mighty hand of God will make you a ruler in life, which is where God wants you to be. So when God's ruling over you, you'll be ruling in life. You'll be ruling over the circumstances of life rather than them dominating you. If we lift God up above the circumstances of life. Now, you keep lifting up your problems, keep exalting your problems, then those things are going to dominate you. Those things are going to hold you in bondage because that's not how it's supposed to be. Those things are not supposed to dominate you. There's nothing in this world that's supposed to dominate you. God is the one that dominates us, right? Things don't dominate us. Sickness doesn't dominate us. Devils don't dominate us. Demons are behind the problems in the world today. But thank God they don't dominate us when God dominates us. When God is exalted in our life. So let's make sure we're exalting Him. Lifting hands up, lifting our voices up, lifting Him up. Woo, you're so awesome. You are the greatest. You are worthy of all praise and honor. You are above everything, everybody, anywhere, all the time. God is greater. God is good. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All good things come from You. All good things come from You. Therefore, we're grateful and we're thankful for every good thing. Every good thing. It didn't come from us working hard and come from us or even from somebody else. It came from God through other people. It came from God through the works of our hands. But it's all from God. He gave you the ability to work with your hands. He gave those people the ability to give to you and bless you and help you in life. It all comes by Him, so He is above everyone and everything. And as we keep Him uplifted, all these things in life that come from Him, all the good things that come from Him just flow down upon us. Flow down upon us. You know, it's hard to get water to flow upstream. You know, it's hard to get water to flow up, you know. It's easy to get water to fall down. It's hard to get water to come up. It's easy to get the blessing to come down. It's hard to get the blessing to come up. A lot of people are up above the Word of God. They're living above the Word of God. They're living above, their opinions are above God, and they're asking God to bless them. God bless me. God bless me. God bless me. And the blessing doesn't come up. The blessings come down. Right? So we're looking for the blessings to come down, so therefore we keep God lifted high up above us. Can you say amen? Well, we're in a series here. Submission and authority. A lot of times people like the authority part, but we got to get the submission part first, because we're not going to be good at walking in authority in life if we're not good first at being submissive. The Bible says over in James chapter 4, verse 7, submit to God. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. So before we resist the devil, number one, we submit to God. Are we submissive? Are you a submissive person? Are you a person that rules and reigns in life? Are you a person that walks in authority over the devil and all his works? Have you want to be a person of authority? Jesus came so you would have authority to rule and reign in life. But first, we got to be really good at submission. We got to know how to submit. How to submit. The word submission means yielding to the will or authority of another. Yielding to the will, or yielding your will, what you want, yielding that to the will or authority of another. To yield under, give place, to subject, to rank or arrange under, to come under, of course, come under God, come under the authority of his word. But then, of course, like we looked at last time, God has raised up people. He has delegated authority through people. There are people he's delegated authority to. And so by submitting to them, we're submitting to God. Submitting to God can also mean submitting to people, submitting to other people. How many people know that that isn't always an easy thing? You know, subjecting your will, yielding what you want to do to somebody else, doing something that you don't want to do, but you do it because the authority over your life tells you to do it. You know, just like if you're driving in your car, you got that yield sign. You know, there's another road that may be coming up, you know, along the side here. You're approaching, and it says, yield. What does that mean? That means if you see a car over in that, on that road, in that lane, you are to slow down and give them the right of way. Allow them to go first. Put their will above yours, and you come in behind them. Well, when you want to be first place and you want to have certain things in life, that could be difficult to have to slow down and let everybody else go in front of you. But that's what it's talking about when it's talking about submitting ourselves. It's not an easy thing. It is a difficult thing. Putting the flesh under, not getting your way in life is tough. It's tough on your flesh. Submitting to what somebody else wants, not getting what you want, can be tough. And that's submission. Submission is tough. Submission is not for the weak. Submission is for the tough, for the strong, those that want to become even more strong, those that have a vision for their life. They will submit themselves to do what God wants them to do, even though it involves suffering. Those who endure suffering are the ones that mature. If we're going to grow up and become strong in character, if we're going to develop spiritually, then we have to be willing to suffer. Suffer through submission. Not talking about suffering at the hands of sickness and disease. Those are works of the devil. How many people know we're supposed to resist the devil? We don't submit to the devil. You know, a lot of people got that confused. They're submitting to the devil, saying, well, you know, God puts these things on us sometimes to teach us something. And they're submitting to the devil when they're supposed to be resisting the devil and submitting to God. So we submit to God. God doesn't bring about suffering through sickness, but there will be suffering involved in submitting to him, in obeying God, into giving up your will on behalf of God, what he wants, or what somebody else wants, someone that you are called to submit to. Now, like we said last time, very briefly, Jesus is the ultimate example of submission. We see it all through his life, how he was constantly acknowledging the Father. He said everything that he did in life was what his Father wanted, not what he wanted. And even at the very end, right before going to the cross, he prayed that prayer three times where he asked, Father, if there's any possible way that this cup can pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And the Bible says Jesus resisted the temptation of doing his will, even to the point of shedding blood. He was breaking blood vessels while he was sweating, so that the blood was mingled with his sweat, the Bible says. That's how much he was resisting doing his own will. He had his own will. He had what he wanted to do. But he said, not my will, but your will be done. Now, of course, he could never have done that to that degree. He could never have submitted to that level in the Garden of Gethsemane if he hadn't been living that way his whole life. He had been growing up and developing himself developing in his faith, developing in his character as he was submitting himself to the will of the Father. He said, I only say what I hear the Father say. I only do what I see the Father do. Whatever he's leading me to do, that's what I do. I'm not out giving my opinions. He said to the religious leaders, they were trying to figure out how he knew all the things that he knew. And Jesus' response to them was, my doctrine is not mine, but him who sent me. In other words, the teaching that I have, it's not mine. This isn't of me. This isn't something I've figured out, I've put together. This is God the Father's. It's his doctrine. It's his teaching. I'm only saying what he wants me to say. I mean, Jesus was totally self-controlled. His whole life was completely surrendered to the Father. And he is our example of how to live our life. How many people know Jesus lived a pretty free life? How many people believe Jesus lived a life of bondage? No, and yet he lived a life of submission. See, a lot of times when we think of submission, we think of bondage. Because people have the wrong idea about submission. People have been taught wrong. The word submission has been used incorrectly. And so people have this idea about submission that it means bondage. But no, submission, true submission, according to the word of God, brings liberty. It brings freedom. I mean, Jesus had total authority in life because he was fully submitted to the will of the Father. Therefore, no weapon formed against him could prosper. He was able to cast out demons. He was able to exercise authority over all the works of the devil. Not only did he live completely free, but multitudes were coming to him and just getting around him and touching the hem of his garment, they were being set free. Just hearing his words, they were getting set free. That's how free he was. He was so free, he had become a safe place for all the people that came to him. So when they came to him, they experienced liberty, deliverance from demons. That's how God wants us to live. He wants us to live in that kind of freedom, that kind of authority, that kind of power. How's it going to happen? We got to have that kind of submission. We got to think submission, submission. Submission is not bondage. Submission is not a bad thing. Submission, true submission, is liberating, freeing, and it will help develop us so that God can use us more and more in life. How many people want to be used of God and be effective at yielding to the Spirit of God and accomplishing what God wants you to accomplish in life? How does that happen? It happens as we learn obedience through the things we suffer in submission to the will of God. We see that over in Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 6 says, as he also says in another place, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. This is what God the Father says concerning Jesus. He said it through the prophets of the Old Testament. Who in the days of his flesh, talking about Jesus, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Notice Jesus, when he came into this world, he didn't come perfect. He didn't come perfect. He came into the world pure, but he wasn't perfect. Bible says concerning Jesus, he became perfect. Verse 9 again. Having been perfected. See, he wasn't always perfect. Having been perfected. Well, how is he perfected? How did that happen? Go back to verse 8. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience the hard way. We could just say it that way. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. You know, there's some things you're just not going to learn in life without going through some tough places, going through some tough times. Now, again, God doesn't send tough times to us. But following God, following his will for our life in a world that is completely contrary to him, and with flesh like we have, it is going to be rough. Because our flesh and this world are contrary to God. And so when you say, I'm going to follow God, there's going to be some hard places. There's going to be some tough places. But you continue to submit yourself to his will. Again, in submitting, you're not yielding to the devil. You're not yielding to some kind of work of his. You're resisting the devil. But resisting the devil doesn't remove all suffering. Jesus said, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have tribulation. There's going to be tough times in the world. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Thank God. He overcame, we'll overcome. And we'll learn through it. How many people know Jesus, who's our example? He didn't suffer with a cold. He didn't have the flu. You ever see this in the scriptures? You ever go look through the Bible? And Jesus is just lying up in bed, and he's really nauseous, and he's sick. And he's just like, it's all right, Peter, don't worry about it. I'm learning things. I'm learning through my suffering. Huh? No! Man, if sickness even came near him in somebody else, he rebuked it. Peter's mother-in-law had a fever. He rebuked the fever. And she got up and she was able to serve him. You think Jesus is going to lie there with a fever and say, I'm just suffering for God. I'm just suffering for God. No, he wasn't suffering for God with sickness. But did he suffer? Yeah, the Bible says he was tempted at all points, yet without sin. So he had temptations. How many know God cannot be tempted by evil? Book of James tells us that. God can't be tempted. But when God became a man in the person of Jesus, he was tempted at all points in every way that you and I would be tempted in life. Jesus was tempted. But he never gave in. He never gave in. He was tempted. Man, I really want to do this. I really want to go here. Man, I'd much rather have this. But he didn't go with his will. He went with the Father's will. He submitted himself. He submitted himself to the Father. Well, there's suffering involved in that, in resisting temptation. And that's why, again, when it came time to go to the cross, he was able to resist running from the will of God concerning the cross because he had been doing it his whole life. He had been learning obedience. He had been learning through the suffering of submission, submitting to God, submitting to God. That's what he had always been doing. That's how we're going to grow spiritually. We're submitting ourselves to God. We're obeying him, putting him first place. Hebrews chapter 2, and in verse 10, it says, for it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Notice that. To make him perfect. Jesus, again, here it's telling us he was made perfect. And who is this Jesus? For it was fitting of him for whom are all things and by whom are all things. In other words, everything exists because of him. And yet here he is, putting on flesh and blood and becoming imperfect. But now through his sufferings, he's becoming perfect. He's being made perfect. It's exciting. I know submission doesn't sound exciting. There's a lot of other more exciting subjects I guess we could be talking about. But nevertheless, this is the key to all the walking in all the other exciting subjects. We've got to be willing to embrace this doctrine of suffering through submission. Again, a lot of people are confused about it. They're confused when it comes to suffering. You talk about a doctrine of suffering, people think, yeah, I'm just like poor old Job. And they start talking about Job's boils. And they start thinking, you know, they're just like poor old Job, and they got boils like Job, painful boils. And of course, Job, his kids were killed. And, you know, all kinds, he lost all his money. I mean, everything just went bad for Job. But who was behind that? The devil was behind that, wasn't he? It wasn't God's will for those things to happen. The devil was behind that. Thank God, under the new covenant, we can resist the devil. We don't have to lie there like poor old Job and just say, I'm just a victim. I'm just a victim. Or they'll use Paul's thorn in the flesh. And they'll say, well, you know, I'm just like Paul. I got a thorn in my flesh. You know, God's given me this thorn in my flesh to humble me. No, it doesn't say God gave Paul a thorn in his flesh. It says it was a messenger of the devil. And I got good news for you. Paul didn't die with a thorn in his flesh. He didn't die at the hands of a devil. He died in the perfect will of God for his life. He surrendered his life to the Father, to God. He wasn't overcome. He wasn't a victim of anything. Paul had learned submission to God, and even in that situation with the thorn in the flesh, he got revelation from God that set him free from the thorn in the flesh. Right there in the same chapter that he talks about the thorn, it shows that he got delivered of the thorn. But you got Christians walk around thinking that this is the kind of suffering that God's putting on them. He's sticking them with thorns and setting them boils and causing all kinds of troubles in their life. No, God's not causing troubles in our life. We have to get that. We have to understand. But you see, a lot of the church world, that's what they think when it comes to suffering. That's Bible suffering. That's not Bible suffering. Bible suffering is submitting to God, not submitting to the works of the devil. Can you say amen? Now, there's a lot of wonderful benefits that come from submission or from suffering. Lots of wonderful benefits. One of them is the glory of God. The glory of, and what is the glory of God? The glory of God is the manifested awesomeness of the Almighty. That's the definition God gave me. It's the manifested awesomeness of, how many want God's awesomeness to manifest in their life? We want his goodness to manifest. You know, he's more than good, he's awesome. But we want his goodness. We want his awesomeness to manifest in our life. We want to experience this life and that more abundantly. See, that's all in the glory of God. And if we will submit ourselves to God, we will experience the glory of God. The more we submit, the more of his glory we will experience in life. And you'll see through the word of God that suffering, that's the result of submission, not the result of sickness or some other thing. But suffering, according to the will of God, according to submission, goes right along with glory, with the glory of God. I mean, you see several scriptures like that in the Word of God, especially over here in the book of 1 Peter. Why don't we go there, 1 Peter, and we'll go to chapter 2. 1 Peter, the second chapter. Somebody say, make me a ruler, Jesus. Amen. That's what he wants to do. He's got to make us to know how to submit first. Notice what I said, make us to know how to submit, because he doesn't make us submit. And I want to get into this, but we probably won't get there today. But God never makes anyone submit. Submission in the kingdom of God is volitional. It's voluntary. It's something we do. God is not a tyrant. God does not force his will on anyone. I said, God doesn't force his will on anyone. We have to surrender our will to the will of God. I mean, there's people God wants saved right now. He wants them saved. He wants them healed. He wants them delivered. He wants that for them. And they'll go completely without it. They'll be dominated by the devil if they don't learn to submit to God. Because God isn't going to force anybody into heaven. God's not going to look at anybody and say, you're going to heaven whether you like it or not. How many of you know he could do that? I mean, he could and he can't, you know, because it's not who he is, so he can't in that sense. But he has the power to do that. Right? He could just grab you and just say, you are going to heaven. You are going to hell. You are going to heaven. You are going to hell. He could just decide what he wants to do. You know, if it was just up to his power. But that's not how God works. God wants submission, and he doesn't force it. He invites us to submit to him. He invites us to yield ourselves to him. So it's on our end to make sure that we're cooperating with him. We're listening and we're yielding to him because we can miss him and he'll let us. He'll let us miss it. If we're not paying attention, if we're not interested in following him, he'll let us just wander off and go right off into a way that's not good. He doesn't want us to go that way, but he'll let us go that way. He'll let us go. You got to watch what's going on in your thought life. You got to bring it into subjection to the will of God. You got to do it. God's not going to get in there and just take control of your mind, force you to think right. God's not going to force you to think right. He's not going to force you to act right. He's not going to force you to be in the right place. A lot of times people, you know, they do the wrong thing and God, it seems like God's fine with it. You know, he's not forcing them out of there. He's not pulling them out of there, making them do something else. So therefore it must be okay. Because after all, if God really wanted me to do it, he'd make me do it. Because mommy always did. The boss always did. People have always made me do what they wanted me to do. So I just wait until somebody makes me do it. And God's not going to make you do it. It's poor training. And it could cause you to miss heaven. It can cause you to miss the blessings of God. Days of heaven on earth. So we have to make sure that we're not just sitting back thinking, well, if it's going to happen, you know, it's going to happen because God wants it to happen. He's going to make it happen. No, God ain't going to make nothing happen. God's going to give us the opportunity for us to yield ourselves to his will and to cause it to happen. It's not going to happen because he made it happen. It's good to know that. It's good to know. A lot of people are waiting around for God to make them do something. And they're just waiting around and nothing's ever going to happen. Because God's not going to make them do anything. So God's going to say, according to your faith, you know. It's kind of like that service I was in years ago. And right before the service, you know, I said, Lord, have your way. Do whatever you want to do in the service today. Do whatever you want to do, Lord. And he spoke right back to me. He said, what can you believe? What can you believe? In other words, he'll do what I believe. It's not what he can do. It's what you can believe. Of course, we see that in the scriptures too, right? Somebody came to him and said, Lord, if you could do anything, deliver my child. And he said, it's not a question of what I can do, but what you can believe. All things are possible to him that believes. No, you got to make sure you're believing. You got to rise up and take it. Can you say amen? All right, I've digressed. I was going into somewhere I said I wasn't going to go, but I went there anyhow. So I'm coming back. I'm going to stick with suffering because I can tell you love it. You just love it. You're eating it up. I can tell it. Suffering, yes. Somebody say, I love suffering. I love suffering. According to the will of God. Amen. Yeah, we don't suffer according to the will of the devil, but we don't mind suffering according to the will of God because we know in doing that, we're going to experience the glory of God. We're being made perfect. We're being made perfect. 1 Peter chapter 2. And in verse 13, it says, therefore, submit yourselves. And let's just stop there for a second. Therefore, submit yourselves. Yourselves. Say, you got to do it. You don't do it, it don't happen. Here he says, submit yourselves. Therefore, submit yourselves. So he gives you the word. He tells you what to do, and you got to be the one to do it. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using your liberty as a cloak for vice, but as servants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Some good instruction right there. Verse 18, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear. And again, I believe the King James Bible, I'm reading it from the New King James, but I believe it's the King James Bible that actually says, submit yourselves. Can't say for sure, but I believe it says, submit yourselves to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. To the harsh. For this is commendable if because of conscience towards God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. So notice he says in verse 18, be submissive to your masters. We could say today, your employer. You know, a master would be an employer. Servants would be employees. The master would be the employer in today's language. So he says, servants, be submissive to your employer with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. That word harsh means unfair. Unfair, overbearing, unjust, bearish. That doesn't sound very nice, does it? You know, people, you ever hear that? You know, people say that before. You know, somebody gets up in the morning and says, man, he was just a bear. That's what it's talking about here. Bear, tough. I mean, a tough guy to be around. Harsh. Unfair. It's not fair. He's always telling me to do that. Why doesn't he tell somebody else to do that? Unfair, unjust. Bible says, what are you supposed to do? Submit. But this is where most people jump ship. They jump ship rather than submit. And that's why a lot of people never grow in character. They never grow spiritually. They can't be made perfect by the Spirit of God in their life. They're not going anywhere because everything's got to be easy. Everything's got to go their way. And so they're in there as long as things are going good. You know, I don't know how many people over the years, you know, God does something good for them and they're fired up. They get saved, you know. They get saved. Great things are happening. They come into the kingdom. They come to church. It's blessing, blessing, blessing. God is so good to me. Everything's just going right. I just got a new job and I just got a raise and I got this and I got that and I just met a girl and I got all these things, you know. I go, that's awesome. God is a good God. And then all of a sudden, following the will of God causes some tough things to happen. Now, all of a sudden, maybe there's some persecution. Maybe the job that you got, yeah, you got more money, but now they want more from you, and things are happening that you don't want to be doing, and they're making you do it. They're telling you this is what is required of you, and you don't want to do it, so just forget it. I thought it was God, but I'm done with that. And they quit. I thought it was God. Or it was God for that month. It was God for a month. You know, God used that job for a month, I believe, to just, you know, just to, you know, just show me some things and stuff. But right now I'm looking for another job. Why? It got tough. It got tough. Things weren't going the way they wanted. It didn't agree with them. And so what do they want to do? They want to get out of it. But what does the Bible say? Bible says, even with folks that are harsh and unfair, they're not treating you nice. It's not in a nice Christian bookstore. I mean, you're working in some rough conditions, some rough people around you. What are you going to do now? Well, people do that with the church. This is a great church. Everybody's just love, love, love. And as soon as the warm, lovey feelings kind of go away, and, you know, a couple people didn't shake their hands, and, you know, next thing you know, they feel like they're like on the outside looking in. I just feel like I'm on the outside looking in, and next thing you know, I'm going to go find somewhere else to go. Now, maybe that's the time to press in. Maybe that's the time to push forward. Maybe it's time to press through when it's not, everything's just not going your way. I had one gentleman, he came here, and the guy was like an elder. He'd been around a long time in the things of God. And I think he heard me on the radio, started coming to the church, and he'd come up after every service. He'd look at me and say, "I just love your teaching. I just love your teaching." You know, he had a Baptist background. "I just love your teaching." I thought, praise God. You know, things were going great until my teaching kind of ran cross grain with his tradition. And one day we had a meeting where people got excited about Jesus. I know, it happens once in a while. And people were actually jumping around and shouting. People got a little carried away with themselves. Or I should say they got carried away with God. They were just excited. Some folks actually had the audacity to go running around the room. Now, this guy had been coming to the church for quite a while. Quite a while. Every service. "Love your teaching. Never heard it like this before. Never heard it like this before. Never heard it explained like that." I mean, it was real fresh to him, real revelation stuff. And then here we have a service. People start shouting and running around. Person next to him got to shaking. You know, just excited about God. And boy, he's out of here. He disappeared. He never came back again. So I contacted him, and I hadn't seen him in a call. I said, "Where have you been?" So he said, "Well, I'm not coming back." I said, "Why aren't you coming back?" He said, "Because it's just not right." I said, "What's not right?" He said, it was like a circus in there. People running around and shouting. So I started to share scripture with him. You know, he loves my teaching. So I started sharing scripture with him. So I tell him from the Word of God. God sits in the heavens and laughs. And so I explain all kinds of things to him about the joy of the Lord. And just, you know, ministering to him. And stuff. He said, "It's just not right. It's just not right." I said, "Well, give me scripture where it's not right." He said, "It's just not right." I said, "Well, give me scripture where it's..." I said, "I'm giving you all kinds of scripture to show you that it's right. You show me where it's not right." I mean, on the day of Pentecost, they thought they were drunk. The people thought they were drunk. They weren't sitting there humming. They weren't sitting there going, "Hi-yi-yo. E-I-I-I." That wouldn't be drunk. That'd be religious. They thought they were drunk. These people are drunk. Peter had to stand up and say, "We're not drunk as you think. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning." That's what he said. "Well, it just doesn't matter. It's just not right. I'm not coming back." I said, "All right. God bless you." That was the end of that. He didn't have any scripture for it, but he just went against his feelings and where he was comfortable. He got uncomfortable around it, and it no longer worked for him. Now, if he had submitted himself and said, "You know, God brought me here. God put me under your teaching, and I don't quite understand this, and I really don't even agree with it, but I'm going to submit myself to the will of God." If he had done that, he would have learned some things. He would have gotten some revelation on the things that he did not understand. Now, we've had a lot of people do that. We've had some good Baptist folks, all kinds of folks that are here in the church today that went through that exact same thing. I mean, everything in their flesh kind of cringed as some of the things that was going on as the Spirit of God got to moving and people got excited about Jesus. Or maybe some of the things that they heard. But then they thought, no, they knew they were supposed to be here. They knew God sent them here. God's not double-minded. God's not flaky. People get flaky. God doesn't get flaky. God doesn't change his mind as quickly as people do. He sends you somewhere. He expects you to sit down and get planted. Get some roots down in you. But you see, many times, as soon as it goes against what they're comfortable with, what they're used to, what they think, they run. Because they're not submitted. If they just wouldn't allow themselves to run and say, "I can't go. This is where God's placed me. So I don't quite understand it, but I'm here, so I might as well just listen and learn. See what they're saying. Get a hold of this. What it's all about. Maybe pray about it." That might be a good idea. Pray about it. Maybe just sit still and pray about it. Let your roots get down deeper. You might learn something. See? You might learn some things by the things you suffer. As you're suffering through, you might learn some things. See? And this is how we become perfect. But a lot of times people don't learn the big lessons in life because they don't sit still. Because usually the biggest lessons in life require a lot of discomfort on the flesh. They have to go through some things that just don't, it's not comfortable for them. And that's where it's like, "I'm not comfortable. I'm just not comfortable." And they're gone. They're like little leaves blowing around. "I'm not comfortable. I'm not comfortable with this job. I'm not comfortable with this marriage. I'm just not comfortable." And so, you know, people said, it doesn't matter if you're a conflict. Be quiet. You're too harsh. It don't matter. He says, you submit to the harsh, the unfair. You know what I'm saying? You submit yourself. And maybe the two of you will grow up. Maybe you'll grow up. Maybe you'll grow in love. You'll grow in character. You think about all that Jesus has put up with us. Right? Just think about, how he treated him. He just kept submitting himself, just kept loving, stayed with it. Bless God. Father called me here. Even his 12, the 12 disciples, because one of them was a devil, he's a Judas. But even the 11, at times he's like looking at them like, where is your faith? How is it you have absolutely no faith? I don't get this. I mean, there's so many times he's like, he probably looked at the Father and go, really? Really? Come here, Peter. Let's talk.
Peter said that.
Right? No, you can't picture Jesus like that, right? Well, the Bible says he learned obedience by the things he suffered. So he go, ooh. Okay, James. Gotcha. We'll go over it again. You ready? Let's go over it again. How many loaves did we have when we fed the 5,000? How many baskets did you pick up? Right? And he just... We'll do it again. We'll just say it again, okay? Sometimes you see some of the same things. You'll be reading in the same gospel, same Matthew. And you'll see you say the same thing here. You say somewhere else in the gospel of Matthew. It's like, Lord, you just said that. He said, hey, I know. Say it again. See, but he stayed there. He stayed with it. He stayed with it. Why? Because God told him to, the Father. Because the will of the Father for to stay with him. See, do you think he always wanted to hang around with Peter, James, and John? And Thomas? Really? You think it was like, that was his bud? That was his preference? Hang out with Thomas? I don't know. But maybe not. Didn't matter. Didn't matter what his preference was. I said, it didn't matter what his preference was. He was doing the will of the Father. He was submitted. And as a result of that, he grew through those tough times, through those relationships, through those experiences that were hard on his flesh. And he became perfect. Wow. He became perfect. And now the Bible is telling us that this is the same thing God is seeking to do with us. He's saying for us to do the same things. Matthew chapter 5. He's talking about love. He says in verse 43, you've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Is that what you feel like doing? Does anybody ever feel like doing any of those things with an enemy? I mean, somebody just ripped you off. Somebody's cheating you. Somebody's abusing you, treating you wrong. And what does he say? Love them. Pray for them. Don't curse them. Bless them. They just cut you off on the road. Bless them. Praise God. Somebody cuts me off on the road. Bless God. I know it's a heathen. So I just go ahead and claim them for the kingdom of God. He's cut me off on the road. I said, Lord, I just claim that heathen in the name of Jesus. I get mad. I claim that heathen for the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. You devil driving them, you speed demon, I command you to cease and desist. Take authority over the devil. Take authority over the speed demon. And bless them. Amen. Might as well have fun doing it. Rather than just get mad and say, okay, you want to play games? How's that? And cut them off. Then you go into a race out there. Thank God. How about tax? How about the IRS? Here's one for the IRS. You want that? Verse 47. And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the IRS people do that. Therefore, what's this? You shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. How do we become perfect? By submitting ourselves to the love of God, submitting ourselves to the will of God, preferring others, allowing our flesh to suffer. Allowing our flesh to suffer. It's through those hard places in life. That's when we're going to mature the most. That's when we're going to become the strongest the most. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God forever. One more scripture, 1 Peter chapter 5. And there's a lot more. There's actually like 14 times in the book of 1 Peter where suffering is mentioned. The word suffering, 1 Peter. So that'd be great this week. Read the book of 1 Peter a couple times. Read the book of 1 Peter thinking about these things. And God will really strengthen your faith in this area. So when you come back next week, we'll be able to go even further. All right? But you're going to do some studying. Does anybody study the Bible? I don't like to study. That's okay. We do it anyhow, don't we? We do it anyhow. Praise God. I'd rather watch TV. I know, that's your flesh. But what are you going to do with the flesh? You going to make it submit? Or are you going to let the flesh just have what it wants? If it wants the movie, it gets the movie. If it wants the popcorn, it gets the popcorn. If it wants the large bowl of ice cream, it gets the large bowl of ice cream. Whatever it wants, my body gets it. Well, that's a great way to grow more and more mushy and not stronger. You don't get stronger doing that. Can you say amen? Amen. All right, I'll get you out of here in just a moment. 1 Peter chapter 5. It's like, is he done yet? I think I've suffered enough hearing about suffering. I mean, some people, they can't even suffer hearing suffering. I mean, this is enough suffering. Just hearing about suffering is enough suffering for them to suffer. It's like, I came to church today and I suffered through that service. What happened? He talked about suffering and I suffered. I suffered through it. I'm never going back either, by the way. Verse 10, 1 Peter 5. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory. Ooh, somebody say glory.
Glory.
His unceasing glory by Christ Jesus. After you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Wow, notice that. He has called us to his eternal, his unceasing glory. How do we get there? It's after we have suffered a while. And it's in suffering that he's perfecting us, establishing us, strengthening us, and settling us. Oh man, to just be settled in your soul. Not uptight, not anxious, not worried about stuff, not fretting. Praise God. Settled. Been through it. Kind of like you're battle hardened. No. Not that you have a heart that's hard towards God, but you're just tough. You've been made strong through the things you've suffered in faith. As you've submitted to God and you have suffered, you have become stronger. You are settled. Nothing much moves you. Things don't bounce you around. You're stable. You're steady. Man, that's a great place to live, don't you think? How do we get there? Well, it's not just by hearing the word. It's by applying the word to our life and submitting ourselves in those tough places. Submitting ourselves to the will of God. Now, there are some things, you know, people are, and we'll get to it next time, but there's some things that, you know, people have gotten themselves into. Because of disobedience. And they've made things hard on themselves. And if they'll follow God, God will lead them out of it. But there's a lot of things. He's not going to lead them out. He's going to lead them through. He's going to lead them through it. Many times, that's how we're going to overcome things. It's by passing through those things. And as we go through them, by faith, submitted to God, not panicking, backing out. But as we go through them in faith, we get stronger. We get more settled. We become more perfect. And we experience the glory of God. Can you say amen? Amen? Praise God. Let's stand on our feet. Let's thank God for the word this morning.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.